KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Washington State has a crumbling highway system. The State Transportation Commission writes that by conservative estimates, at least $175 billion to $200 billion in funding is required to meet statewide needs over the next 20 years. And so expect a big push to raise the gas tax in the coming legislative session. Outgoing Governor Chris Gregoire wants higher gas taxes. The State Transportation Commission says they're necessary. So does the Washington Roundtable, which represents the state's biggest businesses. What's the big picture when it comes to our transportation funding needs? We're joined by Mark Hallenbeck, director of the Washington State Transportation Center. It's a cooperative transportation research agency from WSU, the University of Washington, and the Washington State Department of Transportation. How bad is the situation with roads here, Mark?
That's pretty bad. Anybody who drives on I-5, I think, could give you a pretty good feel for whether the road system needs repair or not. If you're a City of Seattle person like I am, you drive around the City of Seattle roads. I think that's also a pretty good description of what road systems in the state are experiencing. I don't think we're terribly unusual about what a lot of the road conditions are in this area.
Now, in the interstates, they're federal roads, but the state has to fix them?
They're not really federal roads. They're state roads that have a particular federal designation and are eligible for a particular set of federal passback funds, but they're really state facilities.
How did we get into this situation where there's such a giant backlog of repairs?
It's relatively easy, actually. People don't like to have to pay for things. And we've done a very good job giving people what they want and hiding what it costs. And one of the things that is hard to do is to tell people that they have to repair facilities. I mean, if you own a house, if you own a car, you know as the car or as the house ages, the amount of maintenance money you have to put into it goes up. Well, in roads, we tend to sell the idea of we're going to build you the next new thing. And we don't really tell you that every time we build you a new one, we have to put aside money to maintain it as it ages. So if you look at the two gas taxes that we passed, most of that was all about building new facilities. And then, by the way, we're going to have to maintain those. So we've spent essentially the last 100 years building stuff, and now we have to the Piper has showed up, and we have to pay him in order to maintain those facilities, rebuild them, repave them, maintain them, replace them.
So there's all this money that needs to go into transportation. The question now is, how is it going to get paid for? This morning, I talked to Steve Mullen. He's president of the Washington State Roundtable, a nonprofit public policy organization comprised of senior executives from Washington's major employers. Now, his group thinks it's time for more transportation taxes and fees, specifically gas taxes. I asked him why.
We believe fundamentally two things. We need to take care of the system we have, and we need to finish a bunch of projects that we've started. On the taking care of what we have side, we really need to increase the investment in maintenance, operations, and preservation of our current system. Currently, about 9% of the state highway pavement is in poor, very poor condition. But if you fast forward 10 years, it'll be half if we continue to spend at the rates we currently are. So we need to put more money into preservation, maintenance, and operations. And then secondly, we have a bunch of projects that we've started, like 520 and 405 and other projects around the state, and they're partially funded, and we need to come up with the money to complete them.
Businesses often oppose higher taxes because they see it as a drag on the overall economy. Why do you think the need for this trumps that?
Because we think that the investments in transportation will do more to benefit the economy than the offsetting downside of the tax increases.
There are some who say that the gas tax is going to be an ever-weakening revenue stream as people drive more fuel-economic vehicles and electric vehicles. Is this kind of going to be a never-ending treadmill to continually raise gas taxes to pay for these road repairs?
Well, there are a variety of options. The gas tax is declining on a per capita basis. When you factor in population growth, it's not declining overall, but clearly it's a troubled transportation source. So there are a variety of things being talked about long-term, vehicle mile travels, taxes, things like that.
What's your sense of the state legislature and your sense of incoming Governor Jay Inslee? Do you think they're going to go for this?
Well, it's always tough with a big political lift, like a significant transportation package, trying to do it in the first year of a new governor's term. But when you look back to Governor Gregoire's term, we and many others advocated for a 9.5 cent gas tax increase that year, and ultimately were successful. And as you may recall, some folks didn't like that and put it on the ballot, and we were able to successfully defend that at the polls as well, with something like 55% of the voters of the state endorsing that transportation package in 2005.
That's Steve Mullen. He speaks for Big Business. He's president of the Washington State Roundtable that's comprised of the senior executives of Washington's major employers. We're talking today about how to fund transportation, and there are a number of key figures lining up in favor of increasing the gas tax in the coming legislative session. The Washington State Transportation Commission is designed to provide a public forum for transportation policy development. There are 7 citizen members, and the Secretary of Transportation and the Governor's Office are represented on the commission. Dan O'Neill is the director of the Washington State Transportation Commission. Dan, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. I'm actually the chairman, not the
chairman.
Director. The director does all the work. We just
okay. Thanks for clarifying that, chairman. The first line of your 2013 revenue proposal says, across the state, our transportation network is at the tipping point of failing to meet our basic needs. That's pretty strong language. How acute is this tipping point?
Well, we think it's pretty acute. Now, this organization travels around the state. We listen to folks in communities all over, and the inescapable message back is that everywhere at the state level, the local level, both the counties and the cities, everyone's having difficulty keeping their transportation facilities functioning well, and so we've decided we ought to make a proposal, and that's what we're doing.
Tipping point can go in the good direction or in the bad direction. Let's take a look at the worst case scenario. If there is not funding forthcoming, where will we be in 10 years?
Well, I think some of your prior speakers have addressed it. We'll have more potholes. We'll have the highways will be more difficult to travel on. I mean, just driving, as Mark mentioned, driving up and down I-5 is, I think, enough of a message. It's wearing out. It's something you hear as you drive down the road, and it's hard on your vehicle, and eventually has an impact on not just on individuals, but on freight transportation. It has a big economic impact on the state, potentially, if your system isn't working very well.
Dan O'Neill, you at the State Transportation Commission are recommending a gas tax increase, a motor vehicle excise tax, a gross weight fee increase, and other measures over 10 years for over $7 billion in revenue to come in. If this is proposed and this is approved, does that just maintain the status quo? Does it keep us from tipping into disaster? Does it get us ahead? What does it do for us?
Well, I think it helps us make a down payment on improvements. A big focus of this will be on maintenance and preservation, just keeping the system going that we now have. But another part of it, the vehicle tax, which will amount to about $5 billion over 10 years, will help move along some of the projects that are underway and that we've already decided need to be done. It's not going to answer all the problems. It's certainly not going to solve everything, but I think it will help, and I think people will notice a difference, although maybe they won't, because they'll just look out on the highway and the highway will be about the same as it always was, but it's still functional.
Well, $7 billion certainly isn't chump change, and that would go a ways toward fixing our roads. But your own report, your 2030 transportation report, said that conservatively we could need $175 billion to $200 billion over the next 20 years. $7.67 billion is just a tiny fraction of that.
That's right. It's just a small amount, but, you have to start somewhere, right? You got to take the first step.
Yeah.
And we haven't had an increase in the gas tax here in the state since 2005. And, there's no help coming from the federal government, that's for sure. And so the state's going to have to to do something, or we're just going to have to let the system go and pay the price that way.
Is the system deteriorating more quickly than one might have imagined back in 2005 when we voted for the last gas tax increase? Did you think we'd be here now after having done that?
Well, I don't know that that's the case. I think Mark made the point earlier very well that what we've tended to do is we've spent money to build new projects, but we have been reluctant to spend money on maintenance and preservation. I think the legislature, and I know we hear this all over the state, that we're all coming to the beginning to realize, or we've realized for some time, that maintenance and preservation is essential just to keep what we've got.
Dan O'Neill, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Dan O'Neill, chairman of the Washington State Transportation Commission. Also, we have on the line with us Rob Johnson. He directs the Washington Transportation Choices Coalition. Their aim is to bring Washingtonians opportunities to take a bus, to ride, catch a train, to ride a bike or walk. Rob Johnson, you're recommending a gas tax, as I understand it. How does that fit into your mission at the Transportation Choices Coalition?
Well, there's a lot of problems in the state on transportation, and a gas tax would solve some of them. There are some significant problems that both Dan and Steve and Mark talked about on the roadside. But in addition, there's a lot of problems on the transit side. More than 500,000 people get on and off a bus in Washington State every day, and about 20 transit agencies around the state have increased their fares in the last 5 years, and about 15 have had to drastically cut service. We don't have any buses running on Sundays in Snohomish County. We don't have any buses likely to run on the weekends in Pierce County at the end of this year. So there's a lot of big challenges on the transit side as well.
So when you support a gasoline tax, are you thinking that some of that would go to transit also, or do you think it's all going to have to go into roads?
No, I think some of it's got to go to transit as we continue to try to dig out of this economic hole we've been in. More and more folks are going to be relying on transit to get around, to get to jobs. It's an important part of our economy. In addition, we're seeing significant numbers of folks who are aging and wanting to age in place that are going to want to be using transit. And we're seeing significant numbers of young people who are driving less and less. So as we're thinking progressively over the next 30 years about how we want to make investments strategically, transit's got to be a big part of that.
In your head, what percent do you think of a new gas tax should go to transit?
That's a great question. You know, I think you know, we've identified some needs, and like a lot of other folks, you know, we think that there's anywhere between $4 and $8 billion in the next 10 years that need to go towards transit service just to maintain what we've got and to do a little bit of strategic growth. When you talk about major capital projects like extending the light rail system further north, south, and east in the Puget Sound and building out streetcar networks in local communities, that number starts to get in the $20 to $25 billion range. So the numbers are big on transportation.
They're huge, and at the high end, they're way more than the State Transportation Commission is recommending for the entire gasoline tax that they'd like to put into roads. And you could easily see putting that all into transit.
Easily. And we haven't even gotten into the demands for sidewalks in neighborhoods,
yeah,
or stormwater infrastructure, all ferries, all things that are very important.
Hey, Rob, thanks for your time.
No problem.
Rob Johnson, director of the Washington Transportation Choices Coalition. So as you hear, there are a number of major players lining up supporting a gas tax, and that's certainly going to be on the agenda in the 2013 state legislative session. There are probably a lot of people who are also going to be lining up against that. It's uncertain how the Republican legislature will go on it. But Mark Hallenbeck is with us, director of the Washington State Transportation Center, to kind of give us the big picture perspective here. Mark, when it comes to an ultimate funding solution, is the gasoline tax really going to get us where we need to be? People are driving less. There are electric cars now. It seems to be bringing in less revenue. Is raising the gasoline tax really a short-term solution to this?
Well, the simple answer is yeah, although you have to define what short is. So in the—
How would you define short then?
Oh, you know, 10 years, it's fine. Okay. Anything beyond that, it starts to get sketchy. And that's the number just pulled out of the air. Realize that Congress just passed legislation that said the fuel efficiency of cars has to go up fairly dramatically. So what happens is you drive the same car the same number of miles, or a new car the same number of miles, but you pay half the actual tax. So you don't realize that. You're still filling up at the pump and whatever, and you're driving and you're paying your gas tax, and the gas tax is the same. But what you pay actually goes down, because now you're driving a Prius at 50 miles a gallon instead of your, you know, Chevy Impala at 12 miles a gallon, and suddenly what you're contributing to the same amount of travel is completely different. So that's a problem as we shift fuel sources for cars, and that assumes it will continue to shift to something. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about that shift, it's going to take 12 years to turn over the fleet completely at a minimum. You know, gas tax will work quite well for the foreseeable future, but it's not a good long-term future where we're talking more than 10 years.
What do you think is? What do you think is the long-term solution to transportation funding if eventually the gas tax is not really going to get us what we need to pay for fixing roads?
Well, I don't have a real good answer for that. The chief mechanisms are three. One are tolls. Tolls, in some way, shape, or form, are great, and because suddenly you realize what you're paying for. Usually tolls go to what you're using or to support what you're using in some way, shape, or form. And therefore, it really drives the market to, is this really necessary or not necessary? If it's necessary, I use it, I pay for it, that's good. The problem with tolls is they're much harder to do, and it costs more money to collect the money. So you lose funds out of what you gather just to collect the money. So they're not as efficient in terms of how much you pay towards what you get. A VMT tax is very nice in that it is.
What is that? What is VMT?
So a VMT tax would be you would pay a number of a specific amount per every mile you drove. So at the very simplest level, when you got your car registered, you would look at the odometer, and the next year someone would look at the odometer, subtract one number from the other number, multiply by, you know, a tenth of a cent per mile, and you'd get a bill. I mean, that's a very simple way to do it. The problem is with that is can I in Washington charge you for the miles you drive in Oregon and California? So at a national level, that simple way works really well. Except that it's like the income tax, where you see that big number in April, and that's really awful politically. That's really hard. But it's a nice, fair number, and it generates a good value that you can then apply through all of the roads, just like they do the gas tax now. Certainly gas taxes or some kind of carbon fuel tax, which is what you heard. So mm-hmm. The idea of the carbon fuel tax is it doesn't matter whether it's gasoline or ethanol or compressed natural gas. If it's got carbon involved, you're going to pay into it, and therefore we capture, in theory, our fair share for the transportation sector, and we take those carbon taxes and put them back to the infrastructure that's necessary to keep the economy going and to keep people moving around the area. So those are three particular areas. And of course, there are all kinds of permutations in and above it. You can do vehicle excise taxes.
Yeah. Well, lots of possibilities out there, and it looks as though – we'll see how it works out, but it looks as though the legislature is moving towards a gas tax or something like it. Mark Hallenbeck, director of the Washington State Transportation Center, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
And, of course, we'll have continuing coverage of what the legislature does propose and what they do about it. That's all going to be coming up on KUOW in future weeks and months. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.